Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. 2 hours of it, and 2 hours with Tim Staples, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and one of the finest apologists in this studio, or anyway, you're not going to be traveling too much though this summer, huh? I mean, as an apologist, you do go around the world, literally, but you're not going to be doing too much this summer.
I'm not. Well, I had to block off 2 months for the surgery on my leg we mentioned in the first hour I will be having tomorrow, so I do beg for folks' prayers tomorrow. And we had to block off time for the recovery. However, starting August, first weekend, I'm back on airplanes and I'm going nuts in the fall, so...
You'd be all over.
Yeah, I'm going to. In fact, I'm doing two. I usually only do one international trip a year, but I stuffed two of them in the fall this time. I'm going to Australia
with Father
Larry Richards. We're going to have a blast. He'll be tackling Melbourne. I'll be tackling Sydney, and then we're going to meet in Perth.
So we're going east coast, west coast together.
We're going to rock the house there in Australia, but then I'm also going to Rome. For about, I think it's only about 5 or 6 days, and I got conferences back to back to make up for lost time.
Oh, yeah, because you have in the last year.
Yeah.
There's quite a few things that I have. You had to miss. Someday we'll talk about what you're going to do in Rome.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm interested, but we'll save it for another day. We'll just leave that out there hanging.
It actually has to be fleshed out more.
Oh, you're not fully aware.
I will let you know. It's going to be a shindig, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. And the Pope will be in Rome at the same time. Are you worried?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of times he's there.
He is.
He spends a lot of time in Rome.
They say he lives there.
Yep. Except in August, the Pope used to leave Rome in August. I guess Rome is miserable in August. I have no personal knowledge of this, but I guess this Pope doesn't get out of town in August. Have you heard that? Or
I have not.
Maybe he has air conditioning.
There you go.
It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. If you got a question about the Catholic faith, we'd love to get you an answer, whether you are calling from within the church or from without the church, or you're not quite sure what your relationship is these days. 888-318-7884 is the number. We start this hour with Dave in Dryden, Michigan, listening on 990 AM. Dave, your question for Tim Staples. Dave?
Cheers, Dave.
Did you fall asleep, Dave? I feel like I hear you there. But are you running for the phone? No. We're going to come back, Dave. I really wanted to get to you, Dave, because I really like Michigan.
I hear him breathing.
I don't think he's there.
I hear him breathing.
That is Darth Staples doing that breathing. I really like Michigan. You know why I really like Michigan? Because of those TV commercials they have all the time about how great Michigan is. Have you seen these things? It's like Michigan's the greatest place in the world.
It must be.
From the guy that does Last Man Standing. I don't forget.
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Yeah, Tim Allen.
Love Tim Allen. By the way, the UP, the Upper Peninsula, is gorgeous. Just don't go in there winter.
No.
Don't go in the winter because it's piled high with snow. But, oh, my goodness, in the summer, it's gorgeous. I've been up there a couple of times for conferences. And
they call themselves Youpers, those people.
Youpers, that's right.
Yeah. They're in the Upper Peninsula. And they got bears and stuff up there, so be careful.
Yes, they
got
they bears.
Mike in South Bend, Indiana. They have Catholics there in South Bend, Indiana, Mike? Mike's watching on YouTube. Your question for Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Yes, welcome.
My question for you is, hi. I'm a revert back to the faith, and one of the things I've been doing is trying to get into a regular practice saying the rosary. And so my question is, when I'm saying the rosary, I notice that I'm not necessarily changing anything interiorly as far as differentiating between like an Our Father and a Hail Mary.
Right.
So I'm wondering what tips would you give to someone who's like getting into saying the rosary to where you're not giving Mary the glory.
Right, right. That's a great question. Yeah. And I think my friend Mike, or this isn't Mike. Is this Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike in South Bend.
This is Mike in South Bend. It begins with the faith, as everything does when it comes to devotion. We first have to know intellectually that we give worship or adoration is kind of the English word we use now in modern times for what in Latin is latria, the worship or the adoration that's given God alone, and the dulia or the honor that we give to the saints. When we understand that in our hearts and we understand that the principal distinction between the adoration or the worship, if you will, that we give God and the honor we give to the saints is the idea of sacrifice. I always ask any of my non-Catholic friends, I'll say, I'll double dog dare you to go to a mass. Go to a mass, just sit in the back, and you just sit there for an hour, and then you tell me that anybody is worshiping Mary, okay?
Yeah.
And you're not going to see. Why? Because the mass is the ultimate, the highest form of prayer, and it is all directed to the Father in the name of Jesus, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Any mention of Mary and the saints is peripheral, and it's to ask for their intercession and such, and for their prayers and merits and that sort of thing. So when we have that mindset to where we understand who we are as Catholics, when we pray the rosary, it's a piece of cake. Because when we're saying Hail Mary, we are honoring Mary as the greatest of God's creation, right? She is the mother of God and the mother of us all, and we love her. And in fact, we know that it's because of her, yes, that Jesus came into the world. Without Mary, there simply is no Jesus. There's no other, you know, human person of whom we would say that or can say that, because he came to us through her. And as members of the mystical body of Christ, of course, and brothers of Christ, she is our mother too. And so when we have the faith in our hearts and we know this to be true, when we're saying the Hail Mary, we say it as it is, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, we're admiring her like a basketball player admires Michael Jordan, right? Because we see in him the perfection of basketball, right? Well, in Mary, we see the perfection of the creation, the greatest of all God's creation. And so we honor her as such as we should as Christians. We honor great members of the body of Christ for both their offices, according to the Bible itself, right? In 1 Timothy 5:17, you know, we give double honor to the elders, right? Or because of the great things God has done in them, as we see with Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 48. All generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me, right? So that's our mindset. When we're inundated with our Catholic faith, as we're praying that Hail Mary, that's what we're thinking. And in that context, then it's no problem to glorify Mary, because Psalm 45:17, in fact, prophesies. And by the way, in my book, Behold Your Mother, I quote that text from Isaiah 45:17. I'm not Isaiah, Psalm 45, verse 17, which is most likely the biblical text Mary had in mind when she said, all generations shall call me blessed, because it's almost a quotation from Psalm 45:17, except Psalm 45:17 says that all peoples will praise her forever, right? So there's nothing wrong with praising Mary when we understand we're praising her for the great things that God has done in her and through her. So again, it's that mindset. And then, of course, when we're praying the Our Father, we understand we're directing our latria, worship, adoration toward God. And when we get that mindset, Mike, what ends up happening is you start seeing that even when you're praying to Mary, you begin to intuit and know that the end of the prayer is not Mary. The end of all prayer is ultimately God, because we're really going to Mary, and yes, we are honoring her, but we're also asking her to intercede for us. We're saying to Mary, right, help us to get to God, to get to Jesus. Now, when we go to God, we're not saying, God, help me to get to Well, because there's nowhere else to go. Amen. Because the end of all prayer ultimately is God. And so there's an infinite gulf between the honor we give to Mary and the end of all prayer, which is Almighty God. So anyway, that's just kind of a thumbnail for you. But as you pray the rosary and really meditate on the mysteries, and it is a meditative prayer, and we think about this and make the connections with our theology, it really becomes crystal clear.
We'll have to leave it there, Mike. We got to take a quick break. Thanks so much for that question. It's Open Forum. Tim Staples is our guest. Right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Summer is here. That means summer reading. I have great news. Catholic Answers is having its first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, you can get dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. Now is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. Save 50% or more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of great authors. And my personal favorite, all the books in our Catholic Answers Classic series are marked down as well. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our first ever summer sale. Log on today at shop.catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription of the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or by logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription, and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. But better yet, become a two-year subscriber, and we'll up the ante by dropping the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now, because this is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at StreetEvangelization.com. That's StreetEvangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live, and just a ton of questions line up, so I'm just going to keep moving through them as quick as I can. Kevin in New York, you are up next with Tim Staples. Kevin, your question for Tim.
Hi, you guys. I've got to tell you, I love the show. I love what you guys do so much. I'm a 30-year on-and-off Episcopalian, just falling in love with the church.
Oh, well, beautiful. Thank God for that. That's beautiful. Thank you, Kevin.
My question was in 1 Corinthians. It starts in chapter 5, verse 1, and it continued into 4 and 5.
Yes.
Where, you know, someone's committed a sin, and it says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," starting yes. verse 4, "when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." I was yes. wondering what that meant, what that was.
Sure.
You know, we have any kind of, I have no idea. Do we have any kind of record of it? Or
gotcha. Yeah, it's basically that is a description, a first century description of excommunication. As you know, if you read verses 1 and 2 there, this was a man who was sleeping with his stepmother, and this was in an open, public, you know, everybody knows about it, and he refused to repent. And so that's the context in which St. Paul says you deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That is a description of excommunication, where basically you cut the person off from the sacraments. You're saying you cannot receive the sacraments, and of course, without the protection of the sacraments, you and I know We are open to the wiles of the devil. We can't receive the grace that we need to live the faith right now. Of course, this person is already, it's not as though he's being deprived of something, you know, further, because he already is in a state of mortal sin, presumably. I mean, the church, St. Paul judges in the external form, although in that case, you know, St. Paul was an apostle. He met, you know, he was like Padre Pio. He could read souls, so you may have that going on too. But the bottom line is that language of deliver this one is, you know, it's similar language that, you know, St. Paul uses, for example, in Romans chapter 1, 28 and 29. God will deliver this one, right, who continues to sin and so forth. There it's dealing with homosexual sins and the rejection of God. God will deliver them to a reprobate mind. What does that mean? It means as a punishment to deliver that one over to the devil. Why? Hopefully for the salvation of their soul. And that's the emphasis there in verse 5. Deliver that one for the destruction of the flesh in order that the spirit may be saved. Something that folks have to understand. Excommunication or any censure in the church is ultimately for the salvation of souls. It's not punishment for punishment's sake, but it's recognizing that we have a grave situation here. This person is in dire straits. I always use the analogy of my kids, Si, but you know, when a kid does a little faux pas is different from, you know, making a bomb to take to school or something right. like that. I mean, right. you have to deal with grave situations sometimes with more extreme measures, like calling the police and having your own child arrested if necessary. I mean,
yeah.
But why? Ultimately, do you just want to punish them? No, you want to wake them up to where they see the error of their way. So that's basically it in a nutshell. I know that language is kind of dramatic, but to understand to deliver the one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh is emphasizing that temporal sorts of problems that are going to come in this person's life as a result of being cut off from the sacraments so that they may be saved. Does that help at all?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm going to be calling you guys a lot more because I have so many more questions.
Well, fire away,
well,
man.
Don't lose the number, Kevin. Hey, right. Do me a favor, too. Will you accept a free book from us? Because I haven't given away any free books today. And if you just stand...
Absolutely. I'm a big reader. In fact, I'm reading my way into the Catholic Church, more or less.
Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, is just a magnificent book. I'd love to send it to you. If you'll hang on the line, Kevin, Thomas, who is handling the phones today, will get your address and we'll send that out to you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, brother. God bless.
I don't want to imply that we have to give the books away, Tim. Like, I know people...
nobody's going to buy it.
Nobody's buying Tim's book. I got to give them away. Yeah. Let's go to Roy in Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Roy, you're on with Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hi.
I'm also the father of seven.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And you're still sane, right?
I'm trying.
You and me both, brother. All right. What's on your mind?
I was invited to a class on the Divine Will movement.
Yes.
And I've been a devout Catholic for 26 years. I've gone to daily mass for 26 years, and I play the rosary and the Divine Mercy every day.
Yes.
And I read the lives of the saints and stuff.
Yes.
And this type of spirituality seems like a polar opposite from what mostly all the saints say.
Yes.
Is the way to holiness
and Jesus. And I would add, and Jesus. And I'll explain that in a moment. Yeah, well, let me just say this. You know, as you probably know, Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will Movement are being investigated by the church right now. The church has not delivered a, you know, any sort of final declaration on it. So we need to make that clear. It is under investigation. However, if you go to my website at timstaples.com, I have two articles, Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will, parts 1 and 2, on my website. In fact, they were written by my brother, Father Terry Staples, who had this problem in his parish. And just as a parish priest, he investigated it, and he ended up doing a lot of research, talked to some of the leaders in the movement, And these two articles that you'll read there came out of that investigation. And actually, my brother got a letter from the Apostolic Pronuncio thanking him for his research that he did on Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will. So I recommend the two articles. But here I want to toss this out because there are many problems, all right? But the one biggest problem that eliminates the core of the movement from truly Catholic spirituality is the core of Luisa Picaretta's idea that the human will is fused with the divine will so that all that remains is the divine will. And that this is what she says distinguishes her revelations from all those that have gone before, which is also an incredible, well, don't get me started. But it you know, when you say things like that, you're way off track. So John of the Cross, Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, they ain't got nothing on me. You know there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
All right. So there is this idea of the fusion of the human will to where all that is left is the divine will is contrary to Catholic teaching. In fact, it's contrary to our Lord's statement in Mark 14:36, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done," clearly distinguishing the human will from the divine will. And for all eternity, Jesus has a human will and a divine will. There is no fusion of divine will, even in Jesus Christ, to where there's no human will left. And the same remains for us. It's a very dangerous error. Now, you will find a lot of beautiful stuff when you read Luisa Picaretta's writings. There's a lot of good stuff. But at its core, you've got serious, serious error there. And so, again, I recommend Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will Parts 1 and 2 on my website at timstaples.com.
Okay, Roy?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We'll go now to an anonymous caller in Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening to EWTN, also on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Anonymous, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, Tim.
Yes.
I hope I can make sense with my question. My mind has been all over the place this afternoon. I had a conversation with the priest today. And it was something that's been going on. I came back into the church 11 years ago, and I was out for 35 years, and I was a convert. And when I came back, I thought, I'm really going to study my Catholic faith and everything. What I've noticed is that how many people, lay people, priests, some religious, seem to think there's nothing wrong with incorporating our Catholic faith with these Eastern religions, Native American spirituality, occult practices.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this because I've studied all, I didn't even know what New Age was until I came back to the church.
Yes.
And what do you do?
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is a really great and important question. You know, I just recently put up an article on our blog here at Catholic Answers. It's titled, "Is Centering Prayer Catholic?" You might want to read that because you're right. There's a lot of New Age Eastern thought that has crept into a pseudo-spirituality among Catholics. And you're right. A lot of times it has its source in Eastern thought, Buddhist and otherwise, centering prayer being a classic example of that. So check out the article there. It's on our blog at Catholic Answers. Is centering prayer Catholic? But here's the key. You know, there's a few keys that you can look for. Whenever a prayer, which often really isn't prayer at all, when the principle of prayer is, I'll take centering prayer, which it really is indistinguishable from TM, you know, transcendental meditation, or Buddhism, Hinduism, where the goal of the prayer is not so much reaching up and out to a transcendent God who is beyond and praying like Jesus did, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," right? We have a real conversation with a transcendent God. And here we have the second person of the Blessed Trinity in his human nature praying this way, right? But that gets turned to discovering that you actually are God. You can put up the red flag and say that's not Catholic, right?
Uh-huh.
When it becomes discovering you are God, and that's the enlightenment, right, of TM or, you know, even Buddhism, even though in Hinayana Buddhism, the ultimate goal is karmic annihilation, right? This, to cease being, which is an ontological contradiction. But among the Mahayana Buddhists, right, Zen Buddhists, among Hindus and such, there is this, you know, idea that you're trying to realize the fact that you actually are God. And you find that creeping its way in to a lot of Catholic spirituality. That's a no-go, folks.
I want to talk, if you will, when we come back a little bit more about why that's a no-go. Well, first of all, I'm not God. So I'm guessing we're starting with reality. But we'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Father Larry Richards.
You know, I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and both of my parents, both of them, were police officers. My father was a police officer, and my mother was a police officer. They always thought I'd be a cop, too, and in some ways I am, a spiritual cop. But we keep doing what we do, and we come from wherever we come from, it doesn't matter. Where God is calling us is what's most important.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Playing it. Play those air drums, Tim Staples. Man, you can really... Nice. Nicely done, Tim Staples. You're an amazing air musician. Hey, don't forget right now, at this very moment, we're approaching July 2nd at lightning-like speed, and we got our big annual conference coming up September 27th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency here in La Jolla, which is a beautiful part of San Diego. And I say July 2nd is approaching quickly because that's when the early bird pricing ends, is on July 2nd. So if between now and then you get the early bird price, if you get your tickets, you get the special room rate of $149. You get if you get in there by the date, you also get Jimmy Akin M&Ms. There's going to be Jimmy Akin M&Ms available, yes, and all kinds of other benefits go with it. And frankly, I'm going to be real honest with you. I think they're surprised at how well this conference is selling out. I think they're pretty confident that it will sell out and early. I don't know when. I don't know if that's now.
Well, we're way ahead of where we were.
Yeah, and it's a great topic. I mean, it's faith and science, friends or foes. Yep. Tim, as we talked about, you, Tim Staples, not Tim Ryland, but you, Tim Staples, will be giving a talk on miracles and science.
Yes.
Jimmy, Trent, Carla will all give talks. Chris Check, our president, will give a talk. Father Hugh Barber will be preaching throughout. Cardinal Burke, Cardinal Raymond Burke will be there. He will give the keynote address at the banquet dinner. And then we got wonderful guests in scientist, theologian, Stacy Trusenkos. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos will be there. Yes. Father Terrence Ehrman, both who are doing wonderful service to God and His church with their teaching and helping people understand that that there really is no conflict between faith and science, that that's a phony thing. And not only that, faith enlivens science, and science corrects and helps the faith. It's all.
So, how do folks get tickets? Because that, folks, you really want to do this now, because this thing is it will sell out. There's no doubt.
Right. You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. CatholicAnswersConference.com right now. Find out all about it. And we just have a great time there as well.
We do.
I don't want to shortchange that aspect of it as well. It's a lot
of fun. I told
the
folks before, watch out, because last year, because of my health issues, I wasn't able to give my talk. So
it's going to double down this
year. I'm going to double down.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll do the show. We'll do the radio broadcast live that day from the floor of the convention that Friday. And you can, and the questions all come from the audience there. And I think you'll just have a wonderful time if you come.
Amen.
So go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. Get your tickets. Get all set to come. We were talking with Anonymous in Colorado Springs, and I expressed to you my sense of kind of really shock that there's anything New Agey going on in Colorado during the break. That amazes me that that's happening in Colorado. But this New Age kind of Catholic fusion, I think a lot of people don't even realize when they're doing it.
Yes.
And the gospel is so good and so full. Try adding anything to it, and you're detracting from it. There's no way you can add to the gospel some new thing without taking away from it.
That's the sad thing. You know, when I wrote my article, my blog, that again I recommend folks, is Centering Prayer Catholic. You know, and looking into it, I reading, for example, Father Thomas Keating, who is one of the he's called the father of the centering prayer movement.
From Spencer, Massachusetts, right?
Yes. Yeah, right. And I actually have a video of his that's linked there, and you can watch it, where he says, you know, the core, he gives the three principles of the spiritual life. And he says principle number one is to recognize that there is an other, which is, that's good. Amen. An other with a capital O, God, right? There is an other. Second principle is that we want to be in union with the other.
Amen.
Amen. Point two. Excellent. The problem comes in the third principle, is the realization, and there's where you get that hint of the Buddhist influence, the Eastern. It's not about conversion. It's about realization.
Oh, I see. That's a very good point. Yeah.
It's the realization that there is no other. Oopsie. You are the other. You simply are. And that is contrary to the faith. That's monism that was condemned by Vatican Council I. No.
Right.
We are not God. And that was the point I wanted to make to our caller. When you hear anything like that, and we're not talking about St. Athanasius talking about, you know, that God became man so that man could be godlike.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the realization that you are God. That is contrary to the faith. And then you also have, secondly, Cy, and this is peppered throughout the New Age influence in the church. You'll find it in different forms, but they'll say, and by the way, this is called erroneous prayer by the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 2726. It's how you get to that realization that you are God is by emptying yourself of all thought. In fact, thoughts, according to both Father Keating, Basil Pennington, who was his disciple, who continues in the Centering Prayer Movement, but you find this peppered in the various sort of arms of the New Age movement, is any thought whatsoever separates you from that realization. Thoughts even of love and the Trinity, good or evil, all must go. As Father Thomas Keating famously says, 10,000 thoughts are 10,000 opportunities to return to God, because thought separates you from God. No, my friends, we are a religion of the Word.
Yeah,
the
Logos.
The Logos, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is God. To say that we have to empty ourselves of the Word to get to God is a denial of the incarnation and everything we are about as Catholics. So, I mean, you'll find this in different levels and forms. And some folks that are in the movement especially, they don't even realize it. I've talked to them. Oh, yeah. No, we don't do that. We just do Lectio Divina. And I said, oh, fine, Lectio Divina, wonderful. We do the Via Negativa. Well, amen. That's beautiful, the Via Negativa. But the Via Negativa, that is approaching God from the perspective of what we don't know about him, because, of course, what we don't know is so much greater than what we know, because we only know this sliver. That's fine, but that's not emptying the mind of all that is good and true and beautiful. As St. Paul says, you know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things.
Yeah.
Right? To say that, no, don't think on these things is contrary to human nature and our relationship with God.
Yeah, and the thing, the friendship with God, this is not a very friendly relationship if I have to just evacuate myself in order to be in this relationship. And I do that because so many good people with good motives want to be close to God and don't recognize these differences, but don't recognize them, and then you're just missing out on the treasure of a friendship with Jesus Christ. It would be better for you just to just to chat with Jesus for the rest of your life than to try to empty yourself of all thinking and become what? Nothing?
Yeah. Paragraph 2726 says to empty yourself or to make your mind a void is not Catholic prayer.
No.
In fact, it's not prayer at all. It becomes this sort of it's not prayer because, as you know, prayer is communication with the other, right? But when you make it and emptying, it all turns in on the self. Oh, I can't think. Oh, I got to stop. Oh, but I can't. Oh, you know? And it's turned in on the self, and it becomes, again, contrary. As Teresa of Avila said, prayer without the intellect is not prayer at all.
I love Teresa of Avila. She is she is so great. I don't remember hearing that, but another check mark for Teresa of Avila. Well,
amen.
Anonymous in Colorado, thanks so much for the call, for the opportunity to talk about it, because this New Agey stuff is seeping in everywhere. Again, I will say the gospel is enough. It's super abundant. It's more than enough.
Read Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, John of the Cross, the ultimate, and you won't fall for the counterfeit.
No, right, right. Let's go to, again, thanks so much for that call from Colorado. David, I guess this means in California, watching on Facebook. I was just having a series of alphabet letters there. I think I made sense of them. David, your question for Tim.
Yeah, how you doing? First of all, I want to thank you guys for being there, the whole group at Catholic Answers and everything. It's really helped me out the last year and a half. For my faith. But I come from a Protestant background, even though I didn't go to Protestant churches.
Yes.
I didn't know any Catholics, but I knew a lot of Protestants. But there was one question I always had. They said there was 500 prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament.
Right.
And just wondering if this is true, and if it is, does Catholic Answers have anything on this?
Right. You know, it's been a long time since I looked into this. However, no, 500 seems very high, but I know there are at least 65. But you also have to know that there, you know, folks will count them in different ways, because there are some that are, you know, pretty shaky. You know, they'll say this is a prophecy, but it's kind of weak. So there is no, I can tell you this much: there is no official list from the Catholic Church on how many prophecies have been fulfilled by Christ. But I know years ago, looking into it myself, I found something like 60, 65, something like that. And so I'm sure it's more than that. But, you know, it depends. But you've stumped me there. I don't know of anybody offhand. This might be a good Jimmy Aiken question, because he's the guy who loves getting into that kind of stuff and digging it out. But there are certainly scores and scores of prophecies, and this is one of the ways that we know Jesus Christ, one of the principal ways we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the fulfillment of prophecies, as well as the miracles that he performed.
Okay, David?
Okay, yeah, because that's good. So at least 63.
65 or so, yes. Yeah, and these are obvious, of the more obvious prophecies, but I'm sure that it's more than that.
Okay.
Those are the ones I counted years ago. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, David. We got one more break we got to take before we can come back to all these calls. Hang on. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to you. It's Open Forum. Tim Staples right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Aiken, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20. That's a saving of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest this hour. Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Truths. His day job is he is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. His favorite job, though, is husband to Valerie Staples and father to
Amen to that.
Seven Little Staples.
Preach it, brother.
You're like a stapler.
Yes, I am.
Making staples. Well, I guess the stapler doesn't make the staples. All right. So all analogies are just analogies, though.
They fail.
They ultimately fail. Especially analogies for wonders of the world like Tim Staples. Let's go now to Terrence in Vacaville, California, watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. I like Vacaville. Your question for Tim.
Okay. My question was... why do you have to wait to get baptized? Because it's kind of confusing. I didn't grow up Catholic, so I'm just confused on why the class and everything when you read the Bible, they didn't do all that.
Oh, gotcha. That's a great question. And here's the key. You're right. At least in some cases, for example, you have Philip in Acts chapter 8, right, who who, you know, sees the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit sends him over there. It's a beautiful story, right? And he's reading Isaiah 53, and Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless somebody show me?" And he shows him what it is and baptizes him immediately. You know, that's a reality in the first century. And there are times where those sorts of things happen, especially when evangelizing in new countries. Africa back in the 1800s and the early 1900s, you would have baptisms that were done much quicker when a whole tribe, for example, converts. So, I mean, you do have those situations. But I think what a lot of folks overlook is you also had cases like in Acts chapter 18 where you have Apollos, right? First of all, he's out there preaching and teaching, and he's convincing a lot of people mightily in the scriptures concerning Jesus, but only knowing the baptism of John. Now, notice what happens when Priscilla and Aquila find him. They take him aside, the scripture says, and teach him the way more perfectly.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we don't know in Acts chapter 18 how long that took. You know, we get kind of the thumbnail sketch, but it's not as though they said, okay, let me just read one Bible verse to you. Okay, now you're okay. No, I mean, they had to show him the way more perfectly. And so there you have a hint. And then you have in Acts chapter 19, you know, Paul goes to Ephesus and you had believers there too who most likely had met Apollos. Don't know that, but they are connected there in proximity anywhere. Anyway, I tend to think that's the case. I can't prove it. But the point is they had been converted, but they only knew the baptism of John, just like Apollos in the previous chapter. They seem to be connected, but then what happens? They have to take them and teach them the way more perfectly. So what I'm saying to you is over time, even in the book of Acts, the apostles discovered, you know what? There's a lot of other teaching out there. There's some who have this, some who are, you know, they only know the baptism of John. They were taught by Apollos this incomplete gospel. And then you had others who were being taught other crazy things. And so as time goes on, the church realizes, you know what? We've got to be sure people know who Jesus is.
Yeah, right.
Know who the Trinity is and know the truths of the faith before we baptize them. And then especially as the centuries go on and you have all sorts of heretical sects that arise and are teaching all kinds of crazy things, all the more the church has to be sure that folks understand the basics before they're baptized. So understand that Holy Mother Church is just that. She's our mother. She loves us. God has given us this beautiful church. He guides her by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she's keeping watch for us. So sometimes, you know, you have to go through the rules, RCIA and such, and what you'll find is when you do, it's always an opportunity for more learning and to go deeper with our blessed Lord when you understand that Holy Mother Church has our back ultimately. Does that make sense?
I see where what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
Hey, you know what? You may not like it. You know, there are a lot of things in families that kids don't like, right? I can tell you a lot of things my three-year-old doesn't like about dinner, right? I don't want that green stuff. Get me right to the ice cream, right? But you know what? We do need to understand that we are children of God. And in the church, we have to obey the rules. But when you have a mom like Holy Mother Church, man, you know she is out for our best. And when you really look into it, you start to see, oh, yeah, you know, and I'll tell you one other thing, brother, what you and I have to realize is we're not it. We're not the center of the universe. This thing is bigger than we are. And so the church is looking out for all of us. And so we have to, but let me point this out too, my brother, is in certain situations, pastors are free to baptize people more immediately. And I'll give you an example. My own conversion. When I converted, my pastor offered for me to be able to come into the church in a matter of a couple of weeks instead of months and months and months. And I refused. I said no because I wanted to go through the RCIA program because I wanted to get involved in a parish, meet my new family of Catholics and such. And it turned out to be a blessing for me. But my brother Terry, he went the other route. He went in with the same pastor who brought me in through RCIA, brought my brother in one-on-one. And it was a faster process for him. So that's another option. You know, pastors aren't bound by the RCIA program and such. You know, if you talk to your pastor, for example, he may make a way for you. But, you know, let's keep our eyes on the goal first and foremost. The goal is union with Jesus Christ in and through the sacraments. And so Holy Mother Church has them for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, St. Paul says, we are the dispensers of the mysteries or the sacraments of God, right? God ordained it that way, so we need to listen to Holy Mother Church, and she will give us what we need in due time.
Terrence, we're going to leave it there because we got more questions to get to for the top of the hour, but feel free to call anytime. We're happy to take your call. Let's go to Lucy in Colorado, another call from Colorado today. Lucy listens, listening on Catholic Radio there. Lucy, your question for Tim.
Hi, I want to finish. Thank you for your ministry. You've inspired my childhood Catholic faith to new levels.
Beautiful.
Which
that's beautiful.
I truly appreciate.
All right.
My husband is a convert from American Baptism. To be honest, I don't really understand the different sects of Protestantism, but
yes,
his family truly believes that everyone should have one or two children, and that's what God thinks and what the Bible says, and like, that's what how it is. And
oh my goodness, where do they say the Bible says that?
They don't really say.
Because it sure doesn't.
Well, that's how it should be. And
yeah,
I don't know. So they're very vague. And I don't like arguing with them because it doesn't work out well. So yeah. I try to focus on friendship.
Yeah.
Because I don't win. Even if I know what I'm talking about, I don't get anywhere. So we actually have fertility problems, so we only have one child, which
right.
they kind of point out to us ever so slightly kindly. They're very kind and mean, well-meaning people.
Yes.
That's kind of God's way of saying, see, you should only have one or two children. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, we actually would love to have more, and we're hoping this can work out someday.
Sure,
so yeah.
I was just wondering how you kind of explain that God lets that happen as like a...
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's really a sad example, I believe, how, you know, the sons of the Protestant rebellion, sons and daughters of the rebellion over the centuries have fallen so far away from the Bible, you know, and so far away from, you know, so many core things. When it comes to children, I love this text here from Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame. You know, it's amazing how that mentality of children are a blessing from God. Blessed is he who has his quiver full has become maybe 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or that. What in the world happened? Well, I will tell you what happened. 1930, all Christians agreed.
Oh.
I mean, Protestants, Catholics, everyone agreed on this principle that children are a reward. They are a blessing from God. The more, the better. Of course, responsible, not just having children when you can't afford. There are reasons to space them out. And for medical reasons and such, sometimes you can use the natural rhythm of the woman's body not to have any more children. If for financial reasons, psychological reasons, financial reasons, you just can't have any more. And in your case, if you just can't have any more, God may be calling you to adopt. Or he's certainly calling you to pray and pray that God would open the womb. We have lots of examples of that, right, in the Old Testament with the patriarchs, right, who couldn't have children and they prayed and God gave them children miraculously. But the bottom line is, once Protestantism in 1930, beginning with that famous Lambeth Conference of the Anglicans, opened the door to contraception, which was unheard of in Christian thinking, we now have this onslaught of anti-life mentality, even in the heart of Protestant Christian, quote-unquote, churches. It would have been unthinkable just 100 years ago, and here it is. Bottom line is, be an example, love children, keep that witness alive that you love children and that children are a blessing from God. Hopefully, it'll rub off.
Thanks, Lucy. If you hang on and give us your address, I'll send you a copy of the brand new Catholic Answers magazine on Humani Vitae and contraception in general. I think you'll enjoy that as a read. Time is up. We got to go. Tim Staples, thanks for 2 great hours.
I don't want to go.
And God bless you as you undergo your surgery tomorrow.
That's why I don't want to go.
I thought that might be it. See you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.